I should mention my collaborator in the study is Elaine Berry. She is located in Clay Center at the Meat Animal Research Center, and she did some work with me on this. It was just a kind of initial exploratory project. Her work on it is focused mainly on identification of pathogens. I'm not going to talk about that, but feel free. I can give you some contact information if you're interested in that. And hopefully when we get the paper all written up, that'll all be in there together. The topic is talking about semi-permeable swine waste covers for lagoons and other types of storage systems that are located outside. In swine production, you can have manure accumulate underneath the buildings, or it can be pumped out into various types of structures. One can be a settling basin, and then the liquids are then pumped off to more of an aerobic type of lagoon, or they can go straight out to an anaerobic type of lagoon. But the question is these structures we know are sources of odors and greenhouse gases and ammonia. And so the folks I work with want to be proactive and try and understand if there's any ways that we can control these. So we kind of know what the impacts are. We have a pretty good idea what impacts are of these systems as sources of gases. And what we want to try and understand is maybe ways to mitigate them as sources. And certainly probably top of the list as a good alternative or to a way to mitigate emissions is to cover these systems. Two types of covers would be a impermeable cover, which is basically just a heavy plastic placed over the lagoon, and the lagoon slowly fills up. Also, microbial activity occurs within the lagoon, and gases build up underneath that cover and then are vented in a controlled manner. With a semi-permeable cover, and I also will use the term a biocover since that's the trade name of this product, it's a type of material where gases can freely leave the system or enter the system. It's very useful in climates where you want to control water or you want to try and concentrate the manure in such a way let a lot of the moisture out of the manure, and so that way you handle it more effectively. It serves basically as a physical barrier to the wind action that would normally go across water surface and act to strip out compounds such as odors or ammonia. Now with this barrier in place, you'd have a defined diffusion barrier, and that controls the emission of gases and odors from these sites. I've visited a couple of these sites when they've been working on the covers, and so sometimes they'll pull back the cover a little bit to put in some sort of a port or to act to stir up these lagoons, and when you pull it back, you get quite a whiff of odors that from the wind going across that lagoon surface. But when you move just a few feet off to the right or the left, it really does act to control odors. The thought is that these systems usually control gas emissions by 50 to 90%. It changes with time. Certainly, we need to do more basic research on how well these things control a variety of different gases. One observation of the material is basically felt. It's probably about a half centimeter thick. It has a density of less than water, so it floats. And over time, as this material is entrenched, and it's a little difficult to see here, but you get organic material that starts to build up underneath and within the material itself. And that I'll call a mature lagoon cover. Now, whether it's mature or not, I don't know, but we're starting to get organic matter that starts to accumulate in these systems. My background is a microbiologist, and I'm kind of fascinated by the areas where you have oxic and anoxic interfaces. You can have a lot of interesting microbiology that will occur there. And one of the thoughts is maybe this is a microbially active biofilm, where it will support the production or the accumulation of beneficial microorganisms. So, just like I said, this was kind of an exploratory study. We wanted to try and understand some basic activities within this material. And so, to try and understand what some of the possibilities were, we focused in mainly on nitrogen. Now, if you think of this as, say, a holding pond or a lagoon, you have organic matter coming in, ammonia in your wastewater, and then you have an air interface up here. Well, there's a group of bacteria called nitrifiers, which are able to utilize this ammonia when oxygen is present, and that's the kicker here. Together, through a process called nitrification, they generate energy and produce nitrate as a byproduct. Now, nitrate in this anaerobic environment would also undergo further microbial transformations. Through denitrification, you can have organic matter and a conversion of N2. So the process would involve a movement of ammonia through nitrate and eventually to dinitrogen gas, and then eventually emission. That's a very simplified view, and there's some other options in there. We start talking about anaerobic nitrification. Certainly you can have another group of organisms that utilize this and utilize this together, or actually nitrite and ammonia, and can have a production of N2 gas. So this is somewhat simplified, but it was an initial starting point for me to just kind of look at this material and see, is it capable of doing this? So in a normal lagoon, you have nitrifiers in here. They're going to be moving around as the water circulates. And occasionally they'll find themselves up here near the surface, and maybe there'll be a little oxygen around, and they'll be able to take this process and convert ammonia to nitrate. Certainly, if you think about it that way, they're going to be oxygen limited. Generally, as oxygen goes into the system, there's going to be competition for that oxygen, not only generally organic matter, but also ammonia with these nitrifiers. Now, it occurs to me that if you have this semi-permeable cover up here, that would provide an excellent support for nitrifiers to grow and a number of other organisms that I'll get back to at the end of my talk. But if you're a nitrifier and if you can find someplace to stick up here in the surface, you're going to be doing a whole lot better off than your cousins over here that are just kind of mixing around, and sometimes they see a little oxygen and sometimes they don't. So if you can find a way to stick here near the surface, you're going to be better off. And maybe what we can do is harness this process to convert more ammonia to N2 and then have that emitted as opposed to just ammonia emission, which is a problem. So the objectives of my research study was to look specifically at potential nitrification and denitrification associated with the biofilm that develops within this semi-permeable cover. Then I wanted to take a step back and say, okay, is this really worth pursuing? Does this have a great effect on ammonia emission? Can I do some back-of-the-envelope types of calculations to see if this has an effect or not compared to the general emissions of ammonia from these systems? So the site where I collected samples came from three states, Nebraska, Missouri, and Minnesota. Two of the sites were classic anaerobic lagoons. They were receiving wastewater fairly high in organic matter content to a large pond that was covered with this material. The other site was a settling basin which received organic matter and solids at a much higher loading rate. So it was mainly just kind of a structure where the manure could go out, heavy stuff could kind of separate out, and then the liquid would actually go to more of a lagoon type of structure. But the settling basin was the basin that was covered. The folks that did this were the folks that actually installed, or the folks that collected the samples were the folks that installed these covers, and they'd been in place for at least a year and up to 3 years, I believe. They went out to these sites and did some work on the covers. Normally you just can't go out there and hack a hole in the cover and take a piece back to the lab to do whatever you want with. So I had to collaborate pretty closely with the folks that were providing the sample. And they were actually cutting holes into the cover so that they could bring in mixers to stir up the solid so that they could apply these materials to their fields. But triplicate samples were taken at each site, and wastewater was collected from the site where the sample was collected. I wanted to try and also answer the question, if I see activity, is it really enriched in the lagoon cover compared to the liquids underneath, or is it just a high activity lagoon? The samples are shipped overnight on ice to the research lab. And I included two control samples. One was a no sample control, which was just the buffer, and then one was a new cover type of material that had no biofilm associated with it. Samples were placed into stomacher bags, which are basically Ziploc bags with buffer, and the stomacher uses paddles to homogenize the sample and knock the biofilm off of the cover material. And that was done for the buffer and the new cover controls, and also for the wastewater samples. It was just some basic sample analysis, organic matter content, pH. The inoculum, which was the stomachate, the material that was blended with the buffer, was used to inoculate two types of media to look at potential activity. So for nitrification, we used the chlorate inhibition method, where we provided excess ammonia, excess oxygen, and then chlorate to inhibit the reaction at the nitrite step. Normally, nitrification goes from ammonia to nitrite to nitrate. Of course, nitrite is very easy to measure, and that and the production and accumulation of that nitrite would let us know what a potential rate of nitrification was in the sample. Denitrification, we provided excess nitrate and followed both nitrate and nitrite loss in those samples that were incubated anaerobically. Some of the properties of the material, here on the left side of the three different systems, site A was the lagoon, B was the basin, and C was the lagoon. Taking a look at the new cover material, the mature cover, wastewater, and buffer. And looking at it, the pH of the material was very similar compared to wastewater. In some cases it was a little bit lower, and for some reason the new BioCover Act actually lowered the pH a little bit of the buffer material, but it only was slightly acidified. It wasn't anything that I would anticipate would affect nitrification or denitrification. Probably the most important part here is looking at the organic matter. Certainly there is a tremendous amount of organic matter that could be extracted from the mature BioCover material. And if you look at this expressed as grams of material per square meter, it ranged over a little bit of a range here from roughly 6 grams to up to 14. So there was a bit of a range of organic material in this between these three sites. Looking at the nitrification activity, if you look here at the mature BioCover, the semipermeable membrane, we have a nice production of nitrite. Here in the control samples, no production of nitrite. Comparing across the systems for the three different sites, there was significant production of nitrite or nitrification in at site C and site A. There was a tendency for that. There was a lot of variability between the three samples that I received from these sites. Site B, there was very little activity. That was, of course, where the settling basin was, high load. Denitrification, a similar story. But all three sites had clear denitrifying activity associated with all the samples. An interesting point here to note is site B, there was no difference between the wastewater underneath and the mature BioCover. So how effective was this in the grand scheme of things? Ballpark emission is roughly 100 millimoles per square meter per day. Biofilm potential was about 1 at most. So it had very little effect on the overall emission. There are, however, some very interesting things to think about for future research here. One being molecular characterization, like the previous speaker was talking about, taking a look at the nitrifier community. Other ones that we need to consider is the denitrification now may be important and it may help to, say, reduce solids within these systems. So it's not necessarily the loss of ammonia to nitrite, but more the funneling of nitrite into denitrification. Other microbial activities that I think would be interested would be looking at methane oxidation, odor compounds, and sulfur oxidation from the system. Finally, how long does it take to develop a steady state? We know it's spatially variable. Why is it so variable? And why does it seem to be that there's some structure dependence here?